Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. 1-888-525-HQMP or 4767 for appointments.
Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us today is Dr. Carolyn Wolf Gould. She practices primary care at the Susquehanna Family Practice in Oneonta, New York, and specializes in transgender medicine. Patients come to her from all over the region and increasingly all over the world, seeking specialized care which is not widely available. Dr. Wolf Gould earned her medical degree from Yale School of Medicine. She completed a residency in family practice at the University of Rochester and Highland Hospital. She's a member of the World Professional Association for Transgender Health and trains healthcare professionals on how to incorporate transgender health services into their primary care practice. Dr. Wolf Gould, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Alan.
Well, we're delighted to see you because we haven't talked about this here. And I know that there'll be a lot of people on the phone who will be calling, and I want them to call now rather than later and get angry at me because they didn't get on. To be part of today's conversation, everybody, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also check in with your questions and comments online at facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop or email voxpop@wamc.org. So, Dr. Gould, or should it be Dr. Wolf Gould? The second is the right way to do
correct.
That. Dr. Wolf Gould, how did you get interested in this?
I started in the year 2007, and I had a patient call my office. I had been practicing for, I don't know, about 18 years at that point.
Family medicine?
Just family medicine. And the patient called and said he was a transgender male and was moving to Oneonta and needed someone to prescribe his testosterone, and would I be willing to do it? And like most physicians, I had no training at all in this, and that continues today. Most medical schools and professional schools don't offer any training on transgender health. So I didn't feel qualified, and I said, I'm sorry, I don't know anything about it. I can't do it. And he said, well, I can't afford to go down to Philadelphia every time I need a prescription, and I can't afford to travel there. It's too bothersome to travel there for my care. Is there any chance you'd be willing to learn? And I think I went back and forth and refused a few times, but he was very persistent and offered to help me learn and connect me to places where I could get the training I needed. So that's how I started, and have been providing that service ever since. And the practice has been growing quite a bit.
You have a lot of people come to your practice, right?
At this point, we have about 250 patients that we serve out of the Gender Wellness Center, and we've got about 50 more waiting to be seen.
So give us a little tour, because I have to tell everybody that Dr. Wolf Gould and I sat in my office, and she spent a little time correcting my nomenclature. So give us a little tour of language that should be associated with people who are transgender.
I think it's really important to understand what gender is, to think about what gender is. And many people think about gender as a binary. It's either male or female. But to think about it as made up of four components rather than a very simple thing, it's very complex. So there's people's assigned gender at birth. When someone's born, the first thing the nurse or doctor says is it's a boy or it's a girl.
That's assigned.
That's your assigned gender at birth, and it's based on your genitalia.
Right.
And most people are born with either a penis or a vagina. But some people actually are born with some kind of intersex condition or something that's not quite the binary, the one or the other. So even assigned gender at birth is on a continuum. Then there's people.
I'm sorry. What do you mean?
So some people are born with both male and female parts.
Oh, I see.
Something that's not the standard.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay, sorry.
So intersex condition, that kind of thing. And then the second component would be your gender identity, how you experience gender internally, so your sense of yourself as male or female. Then your gender expression would be a third component. So if you look around, everybody wears their gender. So I'm looking at you, you've got a tie on, you've got a
indeed.
Santa Claus hat. All those things are associated with male gender.
But so you don't really know what I am, right?
I don't. I don't, exactly. But I know what you're expressing. I know what you're expressing. And your gender expression can go along with your assigned gender and your gender identity, but not necessarily, and none of them are really linked. And then the fourth component would be your sexual orientation, which is more an outward expression. The others are more internal. So who we're attracted to. And again, that's not linked to the other two. So someone may be assigned male at birth, may have a feminine gender identity, may express themselves as masculine. Maybe they're still in stealth, or maybe they're going to express themselves as feminine. They're starting the process.
It gets complicated.
And it's
it?
Complicated, and their gender sexual orientation may be towards female.
Because you could be an assigned male who becomes a female.
Who transitions to their experienced gender.
But who, as a female, is attracted to other females sexually.
Correct. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. That's
so many people assume that that sexual orientation is linked to gender identity, and it's not.
Wow. So now, when people come to see you, doctor, what do they want you to do for them?
Well, there's a whole lot of different things people want. Some people just want trans-affirming primary care, which we offer in our office. So we take care of all age. My youngest gender patient is 4, and my oldest is 76. So some of them just want their immunizations and their flu shots and treatment for their blood pressure. And others come to me because they want hormone therapy, or a referral to mental health services, or referrals for gender-confirming surgeries.
That's another group of words. Gender-confirming surgery means that they want surgery to get a penis or a vagina or whatever else, right?
Gender-affirming surgery is to help someone's get a body that better aligns with their gender identity. Mm-hmm. So if your experienced gender is female and you were assigned male at birth, some people, not everybody wants it, but the people who do might choose to have breast augmentation, vaginoplasty, or creation of a neo-vagina. They might consider having facial feminization surgery or a tracheal shave. There are a number of surgical options available.
What's a tracheal shave?
Tracheal shave is to remove the Adam's apple.
Oh, interesting.
Which is a prominent gender marker.
Now, you don't have a gender surgeon at your practice right now, right?
We do not have someone who does bottom surgeries at our practice. And there's actually not a gender surgeon who does bottom surgeries in all of New York State. It's a problem. And people ask me what I want for Christmas, and what I'd like is a very good gender surgeon to come to the Gender Wellness Center in Oneonta.
Well, how do you find such a person?
Well, I've got a few leads out. It's hard because there's not any formal training for gender surgeons in the U.S. There are a few people who are starting fellowship programs. I believe Lauren Schechter in Chicago and Cecile Unger at the Cleveland Clinic are in the process of beginning fellowship trainings to train young surgeons to become gender surgeons. But at this point, you have to go and be, you know, mentored, spend time with one of the gender surgeons. And there are not very many of them in the country. But now there's a tremendous need. A year ago, Governor Cuomo mandated that all gender services be covered by insurance, both public and private. So now suddenly in New York State, there's a huge demand for gender surgeons.
And you, a big admirer of Andrew Cuomo for what he's done for transgender cause.
He has done a lot of good things for transgender people, particularly insurance coverage.
Yeah. Okay. So let me put it as grotesquely as I can. Do you make a good living doing this?
I am a salaried employee from Fox Hospital, so I don't think anybody goes into this to make a lot of money. I think probably the gender surgeons make a fair amount of money,
right.
But actually it's very work intensive for me. The trans patients require a lot more time on my part that I don't get paid for, actually. So over the years, I have often worked for free doing this kind of care. Prior to a year ago, before Andrew Cuomo changed things, Governor Cuomo changed the insurance, many trans people did not have any insurance coverage at all, and I was seeing people for free at that point.
This is a fascinating show. I want you to know I really thank you for being here with us. 1-800-348-2551. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back, and we'll start taking your questions. 1-800-348-2551.
Support comes from HPA Live Well, Albany, New York, providing intensive outpatient psychological services for treatment of eating disorders in and around the Capital Region, albanyhpa.com. Ellis Medicine, providing options, support, and help for surgical weight loss at the Ellis Bariatric Care Center in Schenectady, ellismedicine.org. Pothi's Spa, Yoga, and Salon, Hudson, filled with holiday gifts such as Sacha jewelry, robes, candles, and gift cards for spa services, PothiHolisticSpa.com. The Arkell Museum at Canajoharie presenting William Joyce, Guardian of Childhood, an exhibition of Joyce's original illustrations for his books and films, and monthly programs highlighting his work, ArkellMuseum.org. Edgar Bosick, Certified Financial Planner, Private Financial Design, in South Hadley, Massachusetts. Your life, your plan, your portfolio. PrivateFinancialDesign.com. Securities through Cambridge Investment Research, member FINRA and SIPC. And from the Honest Weight Food Co-op, 100 Waterville Avenue, Albany, New York. Specializing in local and organic produce, natural groceries, fine cheeses, locally raised meats, and ready-to-go organic meals. HonestWeight.coop.
And we're back. Thanks to Zachary Malone. Thank you very much, Zachary. We have a couple of people on the phone. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Kristen first in Schuylerville. Okay, go ahead, Kristen.
Hi. I'm just curious to know if, to your knowledge, doctor, if there have been any studies that have linked people who are transgender and sex-linked aneuploidy.
I am not aware of that research. I do know that a lot of people come to me wondering if their gender identity is due to a chromosomal abnormality, and most transgender people have completely normal chromosomes. So
are they typically tested?
No, we don't typically test it. But a lot of people come wondering if they should be tested, and they think, oh, there must be something wrong with me. But in fact, they are completely normal. And being transgender is considered a normal variant of gender diversity, is considered a normal condition. So no.
Kristen, thank you. Okay, and we'll go to, and now we're going to go to Molly in Albany, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Your chances of getting in right now are excellent. Okay, go ahead, Molly.
Hello, Dr. Wolf-Gould. How are you this afternoon?
I'm very well. How are you, Molly?
I'm well, thank you. First of all, I want to say thank you so much. My spouse is a patient, and I love you for everything you've done for her. And secondly, my question is regarding elderly trans patients.
Yes.
One of my major concerns is that dementia and Alzheimer's runs in her family.
Mm-hmm.
And concerns regarding should later in life she develop Alzheimer's or dementia, have there been any studies on what happens if they revert back to their natal,
assigned gender.
Yes.
I'm not aware of any studies, but I think the idea that someone would revert back to the assigned gender doesn't make a lot of sense.
Do we see it ever?
Okay.
Yeah, no. I think people have a very strong sense of their gender identity from a very, very young age. And certainly someone who's trans is at risk of dementia the same as any other human being, but I don't believe there's an increased risk. I think that I know that nursing homes and adult care centers are becoming more cognizant of the need to provide trans-affirming care in those facilities. But I don't think there would be any reversal. That doesn't...
Okay.
Yeah.
I think... it was just a concern. I know it's a concern for her regarding if she's concerned she'll forget she's
who she is. And I didn't think that was a possibility, but it was just more for my peace of mind.
Thank you, Molly. Thanks, Molly.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Jake. Is it Jake in Albany? Jake?
Hi, yeah.
Hi, Jake.
You're on.
Hi. So I was just interested in kind of where the money comes from for these people, or what I guess what the current policy is for insurance companies to pay for any procedures or doctor visits that these people may have in the process of, moving towards the operation for the transgender.
Yes, it's covered by all New York State insurance, public and private, as of a year ago.
And that's because of what Governor Cuomo
did? Governor Cuomo had a mandate, and for the last year, the various insurance companies have been scrambling to put policies in place, and they are now in place. I'm referring both public and private patients for gender-confirming surgeries. And it hasn't always been smooth. There's a lot of glitches as Medicaid, Medicare, private insurances work out the kinks. But we are definitely getting people in for their surgeries.
Interesting. Cool. That's great.
Okay, Jake. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Kim in Fort Edward. Kim, you're on.
Oh, hello, doctor.
Hello, Kim.
My question is, well, currently I'm on an herbal program, which has shown some effects, at least in the breast, maybe up to an inch. But my biggest question is, what are the risks involved with starting an HRT program related to getting cancer, since if you're a male going to female?
So, As far as I know, and there are not as many long-term safety studies in the area of transgender health as there are, say, in the area of hypertension, diabetes, that kind of thing. But as far as I know, in the long-term studies that are available, there's no increased risk of various cancers for transgender women. We would screen you for the body parts that you have. So if you're a transgender woman with breasts, you would need to have mammogram screening the same as any other human being with breasts. Similarly, if you're a transgender woman with a prostate, we would screen you the same way we would screen any other person who has a prostate. But as far as I know, there's no increase in risk of cancer.
Well, thank you very much. That's very interesting to know.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we have lots of free lines now. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to, no, we won't, because number two isn't there, is it? 1-800-348-2551. Doctor, whoever was on line two is not there anymore, but it's an interesting question, which is... transgender children, at what point do people really lose their assigned sexuality or sex and take on something else?
I think I'm just going to correct you on your language there.
Right. I knew
yeah,
you would.
And most most transgender people who do transition recall having a gender identity in their experience, gender as a very young person. However, for young children, not all gender nonconforming children turn out to be transgender, and many of them don't. So someone called asking about a 3-year-old. So a 3-year-old who exhibits gender nonconforming behaviors may be trans, may be homosexual, may be cisgender, may just grow out of it. So for young children, what we want to do is provide them a very safe environment where they can experiment with their gender, where they can be affirmed in whatever gender they express, a place where they know they're okay. So for a young child, I would not do any medical interventions, but I would meet with the school. I would meet with the kindergarten and try to help that family make a very safe place for that child to experiment with presentation and in a safe way.
Now, I'm sorry for my lack of understanding here, but I want to ask you a question. You mentioned they may be transgender and they may be homosexual. Is it possible to be both?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely, yep.
Okay.
Yep. But not all children who show gender nonconformity at a young age ultimately are transgender.
Okay.
Some of them are, but not all are. So we don't want to do any medical interventions that are irreversible at a young age.
Yeah. Now, you may remember the movie The Crying Game, in which at the end, somebody who is assumed to be female turns out to be, at least in terms of their genitalia, have male genitalia. Mm-hmm. Does it often happen that transgender folks grow up in a different uniform and people are not aware that they are transgender? They think that they're looking at a young girl or a young man?
Absolutely. A lot of people are very fearful of coming out and live in stealth. That can be a very painful experience for people.
Yeah. At what point did we stop talking about gay and lesbian and start talking about gay, lesbian, and transgender?
I'm not sure I understand your
question. Well, I mean, the nomenclature of the cause now used to be gay and lesbians. Mm-hmm. Now it's gay, lesbians, and transgender. Was that purposeful? Was it done with the full? I mean, you may not know, how did it happen that we added that third word on? You don't know. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. I always love somebody who just says, "I don't know that. Don't ask me that." Let's go to Jane in Del Mar. Okay, Jane, you're on.
Good afternoon, Doctor, and good afternoon, Alan. First of all, I want to thank you for this amazingly fascinating show. Thank you for bringing this important issue to the public's attention. And as a cisgender woman, I want to know what I can do as I'm engaging the medical community to be more affirming of trans folks. I went in and had a medical procedure today, and it's just really in my consciousness that the questions that they were asking me at intake were all based on that very binary perception of gender. And so as a cisgender woman, what can I do to help educate medical professionals as I'm interacting with them?
That's
okay,
a really good
answer,
question.
Because there are many of us who have no idea what the term you were using means. I'm sorry, I apologize for that. But did you say cisgender?
Yes.
What does that mean, doctor?
Cisgender means that your gender identity is the same as your assigned gender at birth.
Okay.
So cisgender would be someone who's born female who experiences themselves as female. She's saying she's a cisgendered person, but she's also an ally and wanting to affect change in the world, like all responsible allies are trying to do. So I appreciate that. It's hard because a lot of the electronic medical records and charts are built on binary systems. So even in my own office, we have a binary system. We have two choices for gender, M and F, and in fact, the choices for gender are infinite. So what can you do? I think you could mention it. You could say, as I'm getting checked in, I notice that your forms have only two options, and I'm aware from being in the world that there are a lot more options available. How do you make your office affirming to gender diverse people? Just ask it as a question in a non-threatening way, and likely many people will be surprised by that question and not know how to answer it. I think there's a lot of information coming out about trans people at this time, and many people have not been exposed to it. So I think to start from a warm and accepting place, that people have to start somewhere and begin educating there. Wow. You can also point physicians and offices towards training programs where they can go to learn more about it.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Okay, we'll go to Frankie in Copake. Okay, Frankie, you're on. Frankie? Oh, Franny?
Yes.
Okay, you're on. So sorry. Hello.
Hi, my name is Franny. I'm from Copake, New York right now, but I was a...
Franny, could you speak into the phone or just a little bit more directly?
Yes, was a nurse practitioner for several years in Oneonta 20 years ago, and unfortunately, I took care of a young boy who became very depressed and eventually realized that he wanted to be a female, and the town was just totally against him, and he was picked on in high school. He couldn't use the female bathroom, and unfortunately, eventually, he died. And it was very sad, and I'm just very grateful that you're in Oneonta right now and doing this fabulous work. And I also think, as a pediatric nurse practitioner, my husband's also a high school teacher, we just have to really increase our education by listening to people like you and just being very aware of how to speak to people and advocate for changing the medical records, the electronic medical records as well, because that is a big problem.
I think the story that you're telling is a very common one. We all know that there's a lot of bullying that happens in the world, especially in school, and gender nonconforming people are often the victim of very intense bullying. Depression, suicide, anxiety, substance abuse, all of those things can stem from that bullying. So I think what you're saying, Franny, is very important, that we need to change the world and make the world a safer place for gender diverse people.
Thank you so much.
1-800-348-2551. Thank you. Okay. 1-800-323-9262. All right. We'll go to Joanna in South Hadley. Okay, Joanna, you're on.
Hi. I wanted to make a comment, which is that I worked for many years in a community college, and the same issue came up around binary gender. And we rallied everybody using Razor's Edge to contact the Razor's Edge company and get the binary changed, which we did. And before I retired, they were also active trying to get other colleges to deal with Banner, which is the Lucian.
You got to talk into the phone. Sorry.
Okay, I am talking into the phone. Can you hear me?
Yes, much better.
Okay, so, and then the college as a whole used a larger database system called Lucian, and we were really rallying everybody who's a customer to contact the Lucian and say, get rid of your gender binary. So that's the way to change these medical systems, is to have all the people who pay the bills to use the databases file official complaints and lobby to have the manufacturer of that software change the binary. That's the way to do it.
Yes, and the World Professional Association for Transgendered Health is working on that issue. It's a slow process, unfortunately, but you're correct. It's very important.
Joanna,
okay,
thank you
very
much.
Much.
Appreciate your call. Bye-bye. All right, we'll go to Pete in Chatham. Hi, Pete.
Hi, how are you today?
We're good. What's up?
I know it's a little bit off the subject, but I'm wondering, I'm trying to transracial into being more Jamaican, and I'm wondering if you do any work with that. I have done a lot with my hair.
No, I don't have any expertise in that. I'm sorry.
We're sorry. Not this day, today's program, but maybe, Pete, we'll do another one on this. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Susan. All right, Susan, 1-800-348-2551. Lots of free phones right now. 1-800-348-2551. Susan, you're on.
Hi, doctor. Thank you for doing the show. This is great.
You're welcome.
My question is, I have a friend, and this I'm a very strong trans ally and have been involved in gender engaged issues for a while, and I have a friend who is going through, he's going through a divorce. He's still identifying as male primarily, but he has two young kids, and he's taken to wearing women's clothing and makeup, but he asks for advice a lot, but then does not take the criticism very well at all when we try to give him guidance, because a lot of the clothing he's picking out to wear is very highly sexualized and super tight and makes people around him uncomfortable, not because he's wearing a dress, but because he's wearing a dress that's not appropriate for the occasion or the situation that we're in. And I'm really curious if I could get some help as to how best to either posit that to him, or whether it's hard. It's very difficult to answer the question about why something is inappropriate when someone is challenging all of the norms around them.
Uh-huh.
And I just would love if you had any advice on that.
Yeah, that's a hard one. And I guess I just like to point out that many cisgendered women also have phases that they may go through where,
You know,
where they
it
would
choose. Reminds me when I was 14.
Exactly. and for many people, the starting transition is like going through puberty again, this time in their experienced or preferred gender. So there is a period of trial and trying to figure out what it means to be feminine. What does it mean exactly? And it's usually a developmental process that people go through.
Well, what does it mean?
Well, let me answer her question first.
Sure.
I'm not sure. I think it means different things to different people.
Okay.
So if you ask 20 different women, what does it mean to you to be a woman, I think you'll get 20 different answers.
Okay.
So people are experimenting with that, and clothing is part of it. Many stores will, if you call and you'll say, I have someone who is transitioning. I don't know if Macy's does this, but I believe I had one patient go to Macy's, and they called ahead and said they needed some help with fashion. Would there be someone who would be sensitive and understanding, who'd be willing to help them figure out a wardrobe? You know, so that's one way to go. There are support groups. Sativa Bigelow at Choices Counseling and Consulting runs a very wonderful Women in Transitions group. And part of that is looking at makeup and fashion, clothing, that kinds of things. And people can get advice and feedback from in a safe environment. So those would be some things I would suggest.
Okay. Thank you very
much. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Deborah in wherever she is, Poughkeepsie. Deborah.
Hi. Hi.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi. You had a question about the origin of the GLT, the acronyms that are involved in gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, et cetera. Movements. And I used to teach sociology of gender and sexuality about 20 years ago. So this might be a little dated, but I'll tell you what I remember. The lesbians in the 50s and 60s were quite well organized, had an organization called Daughters of Philitis, and gay men were also organizing at the same time period. And around the late 60s, gay rights, the Gay Liberation Front, GLF specifically, became predominant in the struggle for rights for gays, and specifically for gay men. And with some time, lesbians, actually it was political, they demanded to be included in the acronym and the title of the organizations, and it became Gay and Lesbian Rights. And shortly after that, I think in the 80s, we had bisexuals who felt that they were excluded both by heterosexuals and by gays and lesbians, and they wanted to have the B added, so it became the GLB movement. And around that time, lesbians said, why are the gay men first? And they wanted the L first, so then it became the LGB movement. And then around the 90s, transgender folks felt they should be included also in the umbrella of oppressed minorities, and this transgenders were the first group that it was around gender difference rather than sexual identity.
Okay,
difference.
Okay, Deborah, because there are a lot of people behind you, let me ask you, give us the point.
It's helpful.
I'm sorry?
It's helpful. What you're telling us when the T got added,
yeah.
And that's very helpful. Thank you for bringing that out.
Yeah. And there's also the I and the A, and it's all
yes.
political is the answer. It's all political. It's
is.
Internal politics, and
yes.
that's how it happens. Okay.
And it's fascinating. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Deborah.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, we'll go to Martha in Albany. No, we won't. Oh, we got to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Support comes from Saratoga Hospital, committed to women's health with the Saratoga Midwifery and Women's Primary Care Practice at Exit 13 of the Northway, saratogahospital.org. The Lathrop Community, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for 25 years, independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, and the heart of the Pioneer Valley, lathrop.kendall.org. Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses, contact lenses, and eye exams since 1953. Now accepting appointments for patients with flexible health spending accounts, SHEEHYOpticians.com. Unusual wedding rings and more, specializing in wedding and engagement rings, and custom-made designs, open Tuesday through Saturday in downtown Pittsfield and Midtown New York by appointment, UnusualWeddingRings.com. Careers and Transition, LLC, Albany, Dr. Tom Denham providing career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume, and cover letter writing, careersandtransitionllc.com. And from the Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, educating children pre-K through grade 12 and striving to inspire a lifelong love of learning, waldorfsaratoga.org.
Nice music, Zach. That was terrific. Was that Tony Trischka or somebody like that? Who was that? Belichick. Yes, that's right. Very good. Okay, so let's go to James in Hudson. All right, James, you're on.
Hi. My question was, some of the ground was covered while I was on hold, but could you kind of, explain the difference between being gay and being transgender? Because I have been a gay man, pretty much all my life, but I never wanted to be of the opposite sex. And, I'm pretty comfortable in my body, but I've known a lot of people who weren't and were happier in a different body. So could you just go into that a little bit?
Sure. So there are different aspects. They're different. They're not linked, and they're not necessarily related. Your sexual orientation has to do with who you're attracted to, and your gender identity has to do with who you feel you are inside. So Diane Ehrensaft says... transgender is who you go to bed as, and sexual orientation is who you go to bed with.
Huh.
Can I just do a quick follow-up question?
Sure.
I'll be very brief. But then there's Bruce/Caitlyn Jenner, who's homophobic.
Uh-huh.
And I don't really understand that. And then, I never... I think a lot of people assume that if you're gay, you just want to be a woman, you want to dress in dresses and all that stuff. And I don't like dressing in dresses.
Yes. So there's a lot of confusion about the various components of gender. You said you're a homosexual male. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of homophobia in the homosexual population, and there's a lot of transphobia in the trans population. So there's a lot of coming to terms with who one is, and that takes some time. Caitlyn Jenner, is making some statements that can be incendiary and are viewed as incendiary by many.
Even offensive.
I'm sorry?
Even offensive.
Yes. And she did have, she did publish a retraction or an apology recently. I read it over the weekend, saying that she is sorry for the way she is offending people and that she's, trying to learn her way and, like all of us, evolving as a human being. So,
engage brain before involving mouth.
I'll say this for Caitlyn Jenner. I think she has made it possible for a lot of people to call my office, and I'm getting a lot of calls from people who were fearful of coming out to anyone. So I think she's served us in that way, in a very powerful way.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to let someone else get on.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Linda. Okay, Linda, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I may say some things that make some people angry, and that is not my intention. So I hope that people will listen to these questions and understand that I'm coming from a place more of ignorance than a negative place. I completely support people, anybody's desire or right to dress however they want, identify however they want, go to bed with whomever they want. That's totally, I'm totally, totally great with that. I have a problem with all the rising healthcare costs that we have. with public insurance, I mean, which, you know, we all pay for the insurance, paying for operations that help a person look more the way they feel they ought to look.
I hear your question. I think it's important to think about it. Well, number one, there are the risks of being trans that we talked about before, depression, anxiety, suicide, substance abuse, all of those things are huge. So the public health risks of not treating gender dysphoria are enormous. And all studies show that treatment for gender dysphoria being the discomfort that people have when their gender identity differs from their assigned gender at birth, that treatments for this, meaning hormones and surgical transition, are very, very effective and can improve people's quality of life. So to think of it as something like a facelift or a nose job, those kinds of things, I think does a disservice to our patients. And to think more about it as a repair, like someone with a cleft lip, you know, they may feel that way about their genitals. Their genitals are wrong. They don't belong there and need, in order to feel comfortable in their body, they need a change. So it's a different way of thinking about it. Does that help?
It does help. I'm struggling with this.
It's so also
I've been trying to wrap my mind around this for a while.
Yeah, it's a fraction of the healthcare costs too. You know, a lot of companies are looking into this, and you know, the transgender population is relatively small, so it's not a huge number of people. And certainly there are a lot of, you know, as a physician, I see a lot of things that are done that are not always indicated. But this has very, very strong data supporting increased quality of life, improvement in many, many ways of evaluating people with both hormonal and surgical treatment.
Thank you, Linda. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to, I would guess that would be Jessica in New Paltz. Jessica, you're on.
Yes, I had a question about parents with children pre-puberty. If they identify with gender other than their assigned gender, is it important to, you know, give them start hormone treatment before puberty sets in, or maybe they're only in stage one puberty?
So that's a really, really good, very, very good question. So as we talked before, for young people, gender can be very fluid. However, when puberty starts, we use the Tanner stages of puberty. When puberty starts, gender identity is usually fixed. So at that point, we can begin treatment. There are three. We look at the stages of treatment, completely reversible treatments, partially reversible treatments, and irreversible treatments. So for someone who's young, a four-year-old, we're only going to do completely reversible things. Somebody starting puberty, also, we'd like to do only completely reversible treatments. So at that stage, we often offer pubertal blocking medications. So those are medications that have been used successfully and safely for treatment of precocious puberty for years. And we can give a child just starting puberty, pubertal blockers, and it will shut down puberty so they don't go through puberty in their assigned gender. And allowing, for instance, a transgender girl to go through a male puberty is not a neutral act, and we can stop that. We can keep someone on pubertal blockers for several years while they continue to explore gender identity. The family gets comfortable, and we decide it's the absolute right thing to do or not. And at a certain point, then we can begin cross-sex hormone therapy, and the child will then go through puberty in their experienced or preferred gender.
Thanks,
great.
Jessica.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Yep. We'll go to, I don't know, Northampton. Whoever's in Northampton, who are you? Hello?
Is it me?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're talking, it's you.
Yep. So I'm calling from Northampton, and I'm glad for this show. I had a question back to probably 10 minutes ago about children, a little different than the one that just happened, about children being gender nonconforming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how to, at the same time as having
respect and full support for trans people's full range of choices, and being able to respect that our system of social gender norms has some major problems as a system. So I'm someone who, I guess I would be called cisgender woman, but I grew up with a lot of gender fluidity being normal. Like, my dad took me to Boy Scouts because he thought I'd like going to Boy Scouts. Mm-hmm. And we actually, he made the news because he stayed home and baked with his daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 70s, early 70s, that was, he's like, yeah, fun. I think other men should realize it's fun to stay home with their kids and let their wife have time with their friends. But, like, that was not manly of him. And he didn't care. And it wasn't very feminine of me to say, oh, I love boy, going to Boy Scouts. Thanks, Dad. But it was within a realm of choices. So I guess how to have both of those happening at the same time, a full support of people wherever in their lifespan being able to transition, as well as support for saying, huh, our definitions have some problems also.
Absolutely. I would applaud that. And just, I know my own self that I have learned incredible lessons from my patients as a cisgendered ally. I consider myself a cisgendered ally, that my world has been expanded in beautiful ways from learning about gender diversity from my friends and patients.
Do you get any negativity in your practice from people who oppose this?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Some of the worst discrimination transgender people face is in the medical setting, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And that's primarily because doctors, nurses aren't trained. So often colleagues will view what I'm doing with suspicion. Sometimes doctors will refuse to take referrals for my patients, refuse to treat my patients. So a lot of what I do, you asked if I made a lot of money in this, but a lot of what I do that I don't get paid for is to call around before I send someone to a gynecologist or a gastroenterologist. I call around, make sure that the doctor is comfortable, will know how to address the patient, will know how to take care of the patient in a respectful and affirming way.
Okay. Thank you for that. Let's see here. We'll go now to, no, we won't either. We'll now go to Madeline in Rhinebeck. Madeline, you on?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you got our attention.
Okay. I'm just wondering, is there any kind of, there probably have been studies about the root of the difference between somebody's assigned sex and their, or gender rather, and their identity? I mean, is this a nurture versus nature kind of thing, or don't people know?
We don't really know why people are trans. It's a question that many people ask, and there are lots of theories, but there's no real answer to that question yet. I suspect, my own suspicion is that there is a biologic predisposition or a genetic cause, but that is, I don't have any proof for that.
Mm-hmm.
It does look like there are differences in brain function and in people that are trans. There may be differences in how people are exposed to hormones prenatally that may affect the development of gender identity. So there are theories out there, but none of them have been.
Is that a question of resources for research, or is that they just have not been able to find an answer despite the amount of research it's done?
I think there needs to be more research done. This is, the area of trans health is behind in research, and there's not as much research as there are in other aspects of healthcare.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, doctor, somebody wants to get in touch with you. How do they do it?
They can call. They can look our website up if they Google transgender
health. And what the website is?
Transgender Health Services under the Bassett Healthcare Network. We're at Fox Hospital. We're part of the Fox Hospital, which is part of the Bassett Healthcare Network in Oneonta. And they can call Susquehanna Family Practice at 607-431-5757.
Great. Ladies and gentlemen, we're almost out of time. A very fast thank you to our wonderful Dr. Carolyn Wolf-Gould, board-certified primary care physician, specializes in transgender medicine at the Susquehanna Family Practice in Oneonta, New York, and has answered our many questions today so far. And we certainly hope you'll decide to come back at some point, Doctor.
Thank you. I'd
love to. We'll see you all tomorrow.